welcome to another episode of Your Life Beyond You podcast, where we are challenging you to intentionally invest into the lives of others. I'm your host, Terrence Campbell, and I am so thankful that you took the time to check out today's podcast. Remember to subscribe to our podcast on your favorite listening platforms. Did you know that May is Mental Health Awareness Month? I was shocked to find out that over the last 50 years, there has been a sharp increase in severe mental illness cases. We are in the middle of a mental health epidemic. On top of all of this, the pandemic exacerbated the problem, causing people to feel isolated, chronically sad. Some were even diagnosed as being clinically depressed, and sadly, we have seen a rise in suicide. Well, in today's episode, we are tackling this situation head on and talking about the importance of monitoring our own mental health and that of our loved ones and friends, and how to recognize when we are just, you know, going through the challenges and trials of life that everyone faces, or if we are truly dealing with a mental health crisis. And where do we go in order to get help? Well, in today's episode, I am so thankful to welcome to our podcast today, Miss Aisha Morgan.
Hello, how are you?
I am fantastic, Aisha. Good. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. So thankful for you and taking time out of your day to join us on today's podcast. I'm really excited about our topic that we're going to cover about really mental illness and how it plays a role in our lives, our day-to-day lives. So very excited to have you today, Aisha.
Thank you so much. I'm excited as well.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. So I'm excited to introduce you to the listeners today. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Well, once again, my name is Aisha Morgan, and I am a proud mother of an 18-year-old about to graduate high school that is fresh on the list. So I lead with that.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much. Thank you. We are excited. I am living in the Houston, Caroline area. I've been here in Texas for, I would say, a good 25, 26 years. I'm originally from Cleveland, Ohio. Okay. And I came here in the area to be with family. I am a longtime member of a local church here in the Caroline area, and just active in music ministry, teaching Sunday school, serving on the counseling ministry. And other than that, I just, you know, I'm pretty laid back. I like to really watch good movies. I like to sing and do karaoke, of course. And okay. I think I like cop shows and things like that. So those are my favorites. So.
Okay. Well, you sound like a pretty busy person. You know, you mentioned music ministry. I'd love, can you give us a little rendition? Okay. No, sir. Thank you. Not today.
Okay. I think so much is always what the rendition is going to be. Let's see. Not so much of doing it. I love you. I love you, Lord, today, because you care for me.
All right.
In such a special way. That's why I praise you. Yeah, go ahead.
I lift you up. Oh, yes. Come on. You messed it up. We're going to sing together.
I'm going to let you take it. You said a little rendition. By your name.
Yes, Lord.
That's why my heart is filled with praise.
Oh, yes. That's beautiful. I love it. You know, it is so funny because I have invited people to do that a few times and not a single person took me up on it. So
really?
How cool is that? I mean, really, people are like, no, sorry, not about to sing today. That's awesome. I love it. Well, and I think it's a beautiful illustration of the kind of person that you are. You know, I've had the the privilege of being able to do some work with you and just to watch how you approach life, and you just attack it. You just go for it. And I think it's pretty awesome.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yes, ma'am. Now, Aisha, would you tell us, what do you do for a living?
Well, I am currently the proud, once again, proud owner, founder of Journey to Life Counseling and Community Services. Mm-hmm. It is a counseling private practice, and I am also the lead therapist right now. So starting a new business, setting up the new business, getting everything started, also providing all of the counseling. So that's pretty much what I'm doing. And it's quite a bit. It's quite a bit. But yeah, that's what keeps me busy.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, starting a new business in the midst of a pandemic, how has that been for you? Oh, my gosh.
It is definitely one of those things that I can say quite honestly, if I had my way, I would probably not have chosen to do it. It is strictly in obedience to God to do so. And so when, you know, you just move in faith, trusting that, you know, what God advised me to do and is leading me to do, that I can't go wrong. And honestly, I really didn't think of it being a pandemic at the time. I was just focused on moving and doing what God had, what I believed that God was leading me and calling me to do. I felt like I had spent so much time tarrying. And then I looked back after I got started with everything, was like, oh my gosh, we are in the middle of a pandemic. and so at that point it was already, you know, off the ground. And so, but it's been good so far.
That is so cool, Aisha. And I want to give you kudos for being willing to take that step of faith. I know for me, I can be a little tentative when it comes to taking these big leaps of faith and just stepping out of my comfort zone. But I think that it's pretty beautiful to watch you take this journey. And that is a play on words intentionally.
Yes. And, yes.
because the name of your business is
Journey to Life Counseling and Community Services. It is absolutely my journey. Yes.
I love it. Well, I can't wait to talk more about Journey to Life.
Yes.
Before we get there, though, I'd like to know, what inspired you to start your own practice?
Well, like I said, it truly was a step of faith. It truly was a leap of faith. I have been professionally, I am a licensed counselor, and I have been in the mental health field for many, many years, over 25 years. And so I've always had the skill and the ability to, you know, operate in this capacity. Quite honestly, I never wanted to. I didn't. I wanted to remain, I worked in leadership positions and I wanted to do that. And I was comfortable in doing that. I was serving on the counseling ministry at my church, and I was comfortable in doing that. And it literally was God saying, okay, now is the time in your journey where I want you to do this. And so that inspired me to just listen and move and act and do.
I love it. I love it. Very cool. So when I listen to you talk about counseling and the importance of mental health and things like that, I'd like to know, tell me about your passion when it comes to counseling and serving people, ministering to people in the different capacities that you do so.
Yeah, I've always in my heart really want to, you know, just be a blessing to other people. I really have always had a strong desire to want to encourage someone, want to help someone, want to support someone. And in any anything that I'm doing, whether I'm teaching or I'm leading or I'm doing a training or whatever it is, it's all with the notion or the desire to really be of help and be of service. And so with counseling, you know, we have so many people who are hurting and who are experiencing and have experienced very difficult things in their life, very challenging moments in their life. And so just to be able to be a part of their lives and to help them through that, to encourage them through that, whether it's, you know, with the word of God, whether it is with some, you know, different interventions and techniques and things like that, that are proven to be effective, just being involved and being able to see them to get to that point to where now they have a little bit more hope, you know, now they, you know, can go a few more steps further, you know, or now they might have made a significant change where they otherwise would not have been able to.
Okay, I understand. Okay, so what is it considered, or why is it considered taboo for some people to see a therapist? Why do you suppose that's the case?
I believe various reasons. One of the first things that come to my mind is there's just such a stigma, and it always has been a significant stigma around mental health and the you know, seeking, you know, help for mental health. I believe that, you know, a lot of people have become hesitant to reach out, you know, out of fear that they may be judged, out of fear that, you know, someone may think that, you know, they're crazy, or someone may feel like they don't have, you know, their life or the things that are going on in their lives in control. And so they hesitate. Of course, what we do know is different cultures view therapy, view mental health, or even view reaching out for help and support and saying, hey, I need some help. They view that very differently. For example, in the African-American culture, I being a Black therapist, I experienced this all the time, you know, firsthand. It is hard to get people to come out and actually seek help, to say that they want help. And that's just because I believe a lot, you know, we grew up on that notion that, you know, what goes on in our house stays in our house. You know, you don't speak your business. You don't speak what happens, you know, in your household or in your family, you know, to anyone else. And I think, you know, many people have carried that. And it's really time out for that, because what's happening is people are, you know, afraid to open up. They're a little hesitant, you know, to become vulnerable. And they walk around and they're carrying a lot of the hurt, a lot of the pain, a lot of, you know, the burden of some of those issues because of that. One of the things that I heard recently, I was speaking with a client of mine and I asked a similar question. And the feedback I received was, you know, she was hesitant to seek therapy because she always thought therapy was just, you know, her sitting on a couch or something, crying, talking about what was wrong, pouring it out while the therapist just listened. And I think people are tired of that. You know, her comment to me was, I don't want that. I want some help. I'm ready to move beyond, you know, my tears, you know, and my pain and my hurt while someone just listens. I could do that on my own. I'm ready for some help. So, yeah, I think that also contributes to it. People's understanding and knowledge of really what goes on within a therapy session. And so, yeah, I think those things kind of contribute.
Well, let's spend some time kind of reshaping and redefining what does a typical session look like. Can you help us kind of get an idea of what that would look like?
Yes. And for me, my typical therapy session may be different from someone else's. So I definitely want to make sure I throw that out there.
Yes.
But for Journey to Life, a typical therapy session, especially the first ones are always for me the most important, because the first sessions are where people are usually most nervous. And you spend a lot of time during those sessions gathering, you know, a lot of information and really trying to develop an understanding as to why the person is actually reaching out and wanting therapy. And so usually I just spend a lot of time just kind of asking them, you know, what is it that they want, you know, to do, and what is it they hope to get out of the therapy? Why are they there in therapy? Mm-hmm. And, you know, what their goals are, where do they want to be, you know, with this situation? And, you know, possibly what are some solutions that they think would work? And that gives me a little bit of insight as to, you know, where that person wants to go and what they hope to get out of it. So I know how to be able to be of support and help for them. The therapy sessions usually are generally 45 minutes to about an hour. So I really just kind of take a laid back approach and allow them opportunities to not just tell me what the problem is or what the issues are, but how can I help you and support you in getting to where you want to be? What do you think the first step is going to be? You know, that type of thing.
So it sounds like it's very interactive. It's engaging. Yeah. It's you're listening for different cues and really taking note of kind of what they desire to see, you know, their outcome and really taking them on that journey.
Yes.
That is so good, Aisha. Yes. So you mentioned Journey to Life. So this is your own business that you recently started after having worked in the industry for over 25 years. Tell us about your values. I'm curious to know, just, you don't have to go through all of them, but there are a few values that really stood out to me and I thought would be helpful for you to share with our listeners today.
Well, actually, one of the values that we have at Journey to Life is definitely collaboration. And that speaks to what you were just talking about. And in my description of the first session, I want to be able to work together with the individual that's seeking therapy. You know, I want to join in along the journey with them. And so we do come together to not only look at what the problem is, but look at, you know, help that person to be able to identify what some of those goals are and possibly what some of the solutions. I want that person to know that they have help along the way. You know, how many times you take out on this road out there and then you hit a bump, you know, I want them to know that I'm not just there when I'm at the very beginning, when you poured everything out, I want to be there when you hit that bump as well, so that I can help you with getting over that. So that's definitely one of those, our values, just straight up respect, respect for who the person is, respect for, you know, where they came from, you know, what they've gone through, respect for what their preferences are and what they desire. I have a lot of, I work with teenagers. And so a lot of times we know that's a very difficult and challenging age group. And sometimes they get in session and they don't really know. They don't want to talk. They don't want to open up. They don't want to, you know, do those type of things. And one of the first things I let them know is, hey, I respect that. You know, you don't know me. You don't know me quite well yet. You just met me.
Right.
So yeah. I don't expect for you to have all the answers right now. You know, and so that's another value that we have.
I see how that can really be like really impactful to have respect as a value, because maybe some people, as they come into sessions, they're thinking, because they don't really know what to expect. They're already thinking that this lady's going to judge me.
Right.
She's going to look down on me. I'm here because, you know, maybe she thinks that I can't keep it together. I mean, there's a list of feelings and emotions that I imagine people have as they are coming into a session.
Right. Or you're the professional. So I just have to take the stance of let me sit back and let you tell me what to do, you know. Mm-hmm. And while that is true, I am the professional, you know, I have all the respect in the world and value what you bring to your treatment. And so I want to hear from you. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I know during times that we've spoken, mm-hmm. you've mentioned on a few occasions that, hey, I too am on a journey.
Yes.
And, you know, I don't have all the answers, but mm-hmm. I do know and I do have some training and skills mm-hmm. that help guide me along this path and mm-hmm. and really being able to take the journey with other people, I think is so crucial.
I think God has afforded me along my journey, you know, through my career and everything, and even now, opportunities to, you know, gain knowledge and understanding and then turn around and impart that, turn around and share that, turn around and reach back and help somebody else along the way. And so that's pretty much, you know, what I'm
yes.
doing.
Well, and that's spot on of what Your Life Beyond You podcast is all about. It's mm-hmm. it's all about this whole idea that the lives that we live are not our own, mm-hmm. that our lives are intended to be full by design so mm-hmm. that our lives would spill over into the lives of others. The skills, the abilities, the talents, the gifting that God has given to us should be and I would say must be used to be of an assistance to other people. And I think that is right. so crucial. And right. and really even the value that being able to share your life, the value that it can bring in your own life.
Right. Yes.
I think it's fascinating to me that I can spend time investing into the life of someone else. And as a consequence, I myself am enriched. I think that is so amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. While I help someone along their journey, mm-hmm. I'm on my journey too. And Absolutely. It's a constant reminder. Every help, every time, you know, with every client, I'm reminded I'm on my journey too. This is yes. a part of my journey as well. So, yes.
And I imagine also, Aisha, that makes you even a more relatable therapist from the standpoint that there is this awareness and acknowledgement that, hey, mm-hmm. I too am on a journey. Mm-hmm. And I know some of the pitfalls. I know some of the potholes mm-hmm. along the road, and I can yes. help you avoid some of those mistakes that I have personally made. So
yes.
I think that is so good. Now, I'm curious to know, you talked a little bit about providing biblical counseling. Now, is that the only type of services that you provide is like a biblical counsel?
No, I actually provide grief counseling. I actually mm-hmm. do a lot of the individual psychotherapy, which is, you know, another name for the individual therapy. Mm-hmm. I do family therapy. And I also do like I mentioned before, the very first session that we have for no matter what type of therapy service it is I'll do mm-hmm. a diagnostic evaluation. Mm-hmm. And then I do some various assessments along the way. So
I see. Okay. And in what format do you deliver your services? Is it in person? Is it online? How does that work?
Right now, all services are being provided via telehealth. So mm-hmm. I do them primarily online through video. And there are some times where I've done some therapy services over the phone.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So telehealth, can you help those of us who may not be aware of what telehealth is? Can you kind of help us understand that?
Sure. Telehealth is pretty much, some people may remember it or better able to recognize it when we say things like teletherapy. Mm-hmm. or telemedicine. It's just another method, another form of presenting the therapy services. And we can do that either via video, via online chat, or via phone. And it's an awesome way for us as therapists or clinicians to connect with the client outside of the traditional office setting. A lot of times it allows us to be able to, you know, meet with the client, you know, maybe that client that works, you know, daytime hours and isn't right. available, you know, so easily, or that student that is already online for classes and maybe have a break. It allows us to meet with those clients in between those times. So it just offers a more convenient way to be able to hold those sessions. And yeah, some people like it. A lot of people, I haven't had many that don't. But then, you know, some people all do like the in-person as well.
So. I see. Okay. Well, in this day and age with the pandemic and all of that, how have you seen all that's going on impact mental health?
Wow. That's a really great question. I think as, you know, we started experiencing the pandemic, March of 2020, beginning of March 2020, there was a lot of fear, a lot of worry, a lot of concern, you know, about what was going to happen, you know, what that meant for, you know, individuals, populations, the whole world, actually. And we saw increased levels of stress, increased levels of anxiety. But, you know, during the quarantine, you know, where people's lives were drastically changed, you know, we had to change up from being able to go out and go to work and things like that. You know, their routines have changed, their livelihoods have changed. We saw some people, you know, experience the loss of loved ones due to COVID. You know, some people have experienced, you know, illnesses themselves, like I mentioned, losing jobs, losing homes because they lost jobs. It's just been a whole lot.
Right.
You know, and its impact, you know, we've seen a lot of loneliness, you know, more depression, you know, more, unfortunately, more incidences where people are turning to the use of alcohol and drugs and those type of substances to cope. You know, self-harm, you know, they can't cope with, you know, some of the different changes and things like that. So we see, you know, those incidents where people are, you know, reacting in that manner, even suicidal behaviors. So I'm so glad that things are, you know, seem to be getting a little bit better. We're not quite there yet. But I think we, you know, the various changes, I believe that we're seeing, is offering some relief for people, to be able to, you know, to kind of get out now, even with the precautions in mind, just right. the idea of being able to get out, is offering some relief and is freeing for some people who've been, you know, cooped up. For
right.
so long.
Yeah. Yes. Well, and you know what I find interesting is how mental illness has been a thing that has really been an issue before the pandemic. So it was
right.
just really exacerbated
right.
by the pandemic. And
right.
So I think that the work that you do is so important and so crucial. So when should a person or a family members seek professional help for their relative? I mean, because I mean, we all go through difficult times and
right.
ups and downs of life and things like that. But at what point is it like, okay, I need professional help here and I am unashamed and unapologetic
right.
about pursuing it?
I think when whatever the issue is, whatever the problem that you're having, whatever it is that you're trying to get through and get beyond, if you feel as though you cannot do that alone, you know, if you feel like you need that extra help and you need that extra support to get through, that is the time where you could seek therapy, especially if the issues that you're dealing with are causing you some dysfunction in either one or more areas of your lives. if it's spilling over, as I like to call it, you know, is spilling over and spilling into other areas of your lives, that may be a good time for you to seek help. If you begin
can I jump in there real quick? I'm sorry. Sure. So when you say, I'd like to flesh out that word dysfunction for a second, mm-hmm. because I know mm-hmm. sometimes people can do things and it's dysfunctional, but they mm-hmm. aren't aware that it's actually mm-hmm. dysfunctional. Do you have a few examples of that?
Well, one of the things that, for example, if you are experiencing a loss, mm-hmm. and of course, everybody, you know, at some time or another may experience a loss of some sort. But in experiencing that loss, you're unable to, you know, cope with it in healthy means, and persons begin to turn to, for example, substances, illegal substances, drugs, alcohol, things like that. And because of that, that person, you know, has difficulty in relationships, you know, mm-hmm. has difficulty now, they can't get up and go to work, or, you know, now as a parent, that person, you know, is trying to cope with the loss and the hurt by using those substances, but now in turn, their ability to parent is affected. So they become.
So it sounds like. Mm-hmm. Yeah, ahead. I was going to jump in there and say it sounds like it's just, to your point, it just spills over mm-hmm. into their mm-hmm. life mm-hmm. At every point, and it just it's super disruptive. Wow.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that it is so important for us to have these type of conversations, because people can be operating dysfunctionally and just not be aware. They are, I think the terminology that I've heard used is that they are self-medicating.
And that's just an example. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's just an example. You know, sometimes when, you know, if a person is stuck in this pattern of thinking that pushes them to the point of their thoughts are predominantly negative, as opposed to, you know, positive or realistic, or nobody's walking around in a bubble of positivity all the time, right?
Sure, absolutely.
But if they can't get out of, they get stuck in this hopelessness, they get stuck in this negative thinking, that type of stuff begins to affect your behavior, you know, and it begins to affect, you know, what you say and what you think and how you move and how you act. And so if you find yourself stuck in those patterns, then maybe seeking therapy or seeking some help to get you out of that pattern may be helpful.
Yes. And I want to say it is so okay to ask for help.
It is.
I think so often we can be a very isolated society where we think that we have to try and be self-dependent.
Yes.
But when in reality, I love this idea of interdependence, that we need each other.
And, that's right.
And it is totally okay. It's very healthy to ask for help. It reminds me, Aisha, of... I used to like to watch little nature shows, and I've always been fascinated by quicksand. Huh? And the thing about quicksand that I found so interesting is that unless you have somebody that's near who can help you, you're pretty much toast.
Right. Pretty much.
You need some help. And, mm-hmm. and I think about even, from a biblical standpoint, how the Bible teaches that we need each other. You know, there's one scripture in Ecclesiastes chapter 4 that talks about how two are better than one.
Yes.
And just being able to fight, having somebody else who's going to fight with you is so important. So I think that's very helpful. I know that you were mentioning some other ideas around this whole question of when should a person seek help or when should I seek help for a family member?
If you're just seeking another perspective, sometimes mm-hmm. people, you know, your lens and the lens in which you see you know, you look through to see the issues and the problems that you may be experiencing are mm-hmm. shaped by so many things. And so sometimes just having someone else that can look through another pair of lenses and share another perspective or lend another thought, you know, maybe a reason. It doesn't always have to be so drastic or dramatic, right? Or such mm-hmm. a huge issue, just the need to have another perspective. If there's been trauma, you know, and you feel like you, sometimes that trauma, people don't realize, you know, that they've had trauma.
Right.
You know, I work with so many people that have experienced trauma as children in adolescence, and they've just kind of, somebody told them somewhere that it didn't happen, you know, and they've stuffed it and went on and tried to live. And now as an adult, it's coming back up again, you know, and so definitely needing help to get through and to process those traumatic experiences. And then lastly, I think if, you know, a person has ever considered or thought about or entertained the thought about hurting themselves or hurting someone else, that is definitely a time to seek some emergency help.
Absolutely. Yes. Thank you so much, Aisha, for giving some context and really, really reshaping the way we are viewing this whole idea of mental health and the fact that it is a healthy expression of mental health to seek out assistance. That's so good. Now, I think the very important question to ask is, does insurance typically cover this type of health? I mean, because I know if I go to my usual doctor's appointment, okay, yeah, my doctor is going to cover that, or they're going to, my insurance is going to cover that. Does insurance typically cover this type of assistance?
Well, it really just depends on the type of insurance that you have. And if you have the type of insurance that offers coverage for behavioral health or mental health services, then I would encourage that person to definitely check with their insurance company to, number one, to make sure that they do offer that type of coverage. And then also to see if there are any, you know, charges or out-of-pocket costs associated with being able to see a therapist. And it really just depends on the plan that they have.
Okay. Okay. Well, I would just like to say that I think that in the process of healthcare reform, this is a huge ticket item that should be addressed. Absolutely. And insurance most certainly should start covering this type of service, because it's needed. It's so important.
Yeah, I think most of them do. I just think that sometimes people don't know that it does, and they walk around with their insurance card in their wallet or their pocket, and they don't know. And so whenever I hear somebody that says, "Do you know, I have insurance," that's the first thing I encourage them to do: check with your insurance. And even before I have a first session, I do assist them with verifying that they actually have that coverage and what that coverage entails.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I know that the Bible teaches that God wants us to be healthy. He wants us to prosper spirit, soul, and body.
Yes.
And if I could say it another way, mind, body, and soul, that he wants us to be healthy in all of that. And being able to have connection and communication with professionals who can guide us, I think, is so crucial. That's so good, Aisha. So how does a person contact you for your services?
Well, a couple of different ways. One of the ways I would definitely encourage some person to access our website, and they can go to journeytolifeccs.com. That's JourneyTo Life, CCS, like cat summer, .com. And they can take a look at our services. And on the website, there is actually a tab called referral form. And they can click that on if they're interested in services and fill that out. And they can get in contact with us. There's also an info tab that leads to an email address. If they have any questions, they can definitely type it right into that. And I'll get all that information and be able to respond. Mm-hmm. Another way, they can give us a call directly and call our office at 832-779-3736. And we'd be more than happy to answer any questions that they may have and also assist them with getting set up. We are also available on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at mm-hmm. Journey to Life CCS. So there are multiple ways that they can reach us and access our services.
Very cool, Aisha. Well, this time has been so encouraging for me to be able to hear more about what you do and even just to hear your heart and your passion to serve people the way you do. So as we wrap up, do you have any last thoughts that you'd like to share with our listeners today?
I'm so incredibly thankful. I'm so incredibly grateful for this opportunity and for you, Terrence, and along this journey. And all I could say to others is to consider your mental health just as important, like you said, as your spiritual health, your medical health, your physical health condition, all of that, because the God does want to see us healthy in all ways. And I just encourage you to take that step and know that you're not alone. We're here for you.
Love it. Thank you so much, Aisha. That is beautiful. I took time to visit your website, and something that just jumped right out at me was the fact that you say taking life's journey together. I think that is so encouraging to know that on this journey, we are not alone. Aisha, thank you so much for being here today, and thank you for the work that you do.
Oh, you're most welcome. Thank you.
Thank you, Aisha. Wow, I know that you enjoyed today's podcast. A special thanks to the friends and partners of Growing Faith. You helped to make this possible. Now, as always, it's our prayer that our lives would be so filled that it spills over into the lives of others. You have been listening to Your Life Beyond You.